These Kenobi episodes are about 45 to 50 minutes each. So if we do two of them, it's like one movie. So
Right.
we'll manage.
All right, let me push the intro then.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefinger. Please visit our website, https://rabr.kaileJohansen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device. I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutton and Rick Ross Bosley.
There he is.
It's time to talk Star Wars.
Giving us a weird look and stuff. Yeah. All right. So today we're re-watching Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is going to be a recap to start off with episode one. And I'm gonna do the feedback thing right away. Feedback. All right, so we have feedback at kylejohansson.us. This is a good email. There's a link on our website to fill out a form that will come to the same email address. We're on Twitter/X at super_duper_pod. We're on Blue Sky now with over 100 followers there as well. So we've got 100 on Twitter and 100 on Blue Sky at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room. And YouTube, we've got audio and video. We're working to get video back up. Hosting site, like I said before, has had some issues and they're back online, but they still aren't allowing people to upload videos yet. So we've got another surprise unboxing this week too. Let's do that real quick.
What unboxing?
Unboxing. Yay. You get all the Halloween candy out of the way. Yeah. There we go. Oh, that's my belly. Don't look at that. Oh, there's still Halloween candy in the way.
What episode was Snickers on?
Yeah. The trash episode. All right, here's our box. Right there in the middle. Again, another box. Let's see.
Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings.
Yay. We're unboxing Funko bobbleheads. Ooh, this has got a box instead of a box, too.
We got a box. Yay. A box.
Yay. Oh, it's taped up really good.
Ooh.
Look. Uh-oh.
They want to escape.
This is the one I was talking about the other day.
Oh, I see. In the corner.
Scott forgot about it.
I see an ear. Oh.
Let me adjust the lighting situation. It's a little bright on that package there.
Yeah, reflecting.
Where am I at? In light. Go away. There we go. It's still light, but it's better. All right, so this is Din Grogu. With armor.
Ooh.
He's got his little armor plate that he had that the armorer fashioned for him.
Yeah, yeah.
With the logo on it. The
is it the mud horn or something like that?
Yeah, the mud horn.
Nice.
I've got that symbol. Well, I had it up on the wall. I had all these plaques on the wall, but anyway, so that's him, and it's number, where's the number at? 712.
Cool.
Let's go to the side view. Not very good side view, because it's...
Yeah.
See, this one, if you don't notice, is a wide package instead of a tall package.
Yeah, because he's so short.
Yeah, and oddly enough, all the Grogu's, you can't see him now, but all the Grogu's are all wide. None of them are, like, regular. There's the side there. Yeah,
does
just
that box
box
make my butt look big?
Yeah, it's his ears. They have to make the package bigger because his ears are so wide.
Yeah, those ears. Do those ears make my butt look big?
Yeah, so this one has, it's a Mandalorian one, but it has the Moff Gideon with his armor and then Bo-Katan
in the collection.
Cool.
So it's a specific, I don't know, episode almost. There's the top.
It's with the armor.
Yeah, see the armor plate?
It's the armor collection. That's what it is. The armor collection.
Yeah, all right. Let's,
the armor.
So, Grogu. We need to talk about Grogu for a minute then.
For sure.
Grogu. So you've mentioned it before, and I don't have anything pulled up, but you mentioned it before, and you wonder about his species, you know, the Yoda species or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a theory about Grogu himself, and I don't know if we've discussed it much. I think I've mentioned it before, but my theory is Grogu is completely genetically made. Because they had some blood supposedly from Yoda that was part of the all this cloning stuff that the Empire's been doing for years.
Gotcha.
And I think that they use that blood to make Grogu himself. And he's so valuable because he actually, because Yoda is pretty powerful.
Yeah,
so he's
yeah.
got a lot of midichlorians going on in there. So that's kind of my theory about Grogu in general. Let me see. I think it says here in the article that they don't really know his origins. Grogu.
Well, like he and Yoda, and then there's like one female. That's the only ones that we know, right? On the entire.
Yaddle is the other one. There's.
Yeah, Yaddle.
There's hints of more, but I don't think we've ever seen.
Yeah. And we've never actually seen Yaddle in anything, have we? She's just.
Yeah. Yaddle is in.
In one of the
there's a brief instance in one of the prequels, you know, when there's the council sitting around.
Yeah,
you see Yaddle for a second, but the only other place we see is in the Clone Wars series. Okay. There's a couple episodes that are feature at Yaddle, and Yaddle, I believe, is probably a male, not a female.
Gotcha.
I don't know for sure. It never says, but it's my suspicion. Okay. Grogu was born around 41 before the Battle of Yavin. Raised at the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. Well, maybe that's my theory right there that's is broken. I don't know. He survived the Purge, the Jedi Purge, and became simply known as the Child. During the New Republic era, probably to hide his identity.
Yeah.
Some. He hooked up somehow with Din Djarin because he saw some people, like, I don't know, transporting him somewhere, I think is what it was, what we first saw. And he decided that was not good. Sorry, my phone's ringing. Looks like a spam call trying to get me to vote or something, probably.
Go vote. Yeah,
and he gets trained by Jedi Master Luke.
Wasn't he getting pushed out by that Dr. Royce or whatever in like his little, I don't know, floating bassinet kind of thing? Or was it?
Yes.
No. He was sent into Kellam or something and he realized that's who he was killing was the child. Is that right?
Close, yeah.
Because we see him escaping like from the temple at Order 66.
Yeah. The guy who played Jar Jar Binks he played a Jedi that yeah. rescued him.
Yeah.
And he was put into hiding somewhere, is what they say. And he was at some point was transferred to the Empire. We don't know how or when. But Din Djarin, our Mandalorian, it says here, rescued him from the Empire's torturous grasp. I'm sure they were taking his blood and, feeding him all kinds of stuff to make him produce stronger blood. I don't know what.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole couple seasons worth of him being chased by Moff Gideon and others to get Grogu back. Let's see. Was raised the temple. They realized he had the Force with him when he was able to raise frogs out of the puddle.
Because he was looking for some fast food.
Well, I don't think Din Djarin or anybody knew that he was actually Force sensitive until something like that happened. They just thought he was someone that was being oppressed, and okay.
And he was just a little kid.
Okay, it's Kelleran Bay was the guy, the Jedi Master that saved him. They took a speeder and went through some tunnels, got away, but they were ambushed by shock troopers. Grogu with all surviving Jedi went into hiding. And then of course he was hunted like we saw in the Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And he's like 30 years old, right? And he still's like acting like a kid.
Yep.
Because we know that Yoda's species is like, lives forever, 1,000 years or something like that. So their mature rate is very slow. Maybe Yoda never matured. We don't know. He kind of is a little goofy.
He just got out of diapers.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So that's our unboxing with
Grogu. Now we have a special treat. It's
Grogu. Yay.
Yay.
We say 712. I'm going to put that aside so I don't forget. Write that down. Today, again, we're reviewing episode 1 of Obi-Wan Kenobi, originally aired on May 26th, 2022, which I'm like, wow, that was a long time ago. It was 56 minutes long. Director was Deborah Chow. I think first time she was in charge of directing a series or a movie or anything like that. I think she had sub credits on some other stuff, but this is her first time being in charge of a story.
Sweet.
And this episode had three writers, Joby Harold, Hassan Amini, Stuart Beadle, and it took place 9 before the Battle of Yavin, so 9 years before the New Hope show. All right. And this first episode starts out a little different. I had to rewind several times because I was like, why am I watching a sales pitch for Revenge of the Sith? Because it basically recapped the entire movie quickly at the beginning, at least on mine it did. I don't know if it did on yours. It showed a scene where there was younglings training at the temple in Coruscant. And Master Minus Velti was training them, and they got attacked by clone troopers, and she fended them off for quite a while, but eventually got shot, and most of the younglings ran down a corridor to escape. And that's where we see that we jump forward 10 years after that. We kind of see the kids running down that corridor, and then it just fades to 10 years later.
That was a good foreshadowing event for a character.
Yeah. Venus Velta, which is not, it didn't come up. Still loading. No listing now. I was clicking on it, but it didn't. Venus. There we go. Venus Velta was a Asian, white Asian woman. So I don't think we see her anywhere because she got killed, but I don't think we saw anybody else in that foreshadowing piece that we know
Not up
either.
close. Yeah, no.
Except for the clones, yeah. I think it's funny, those clones, how they always scream, ah!
Well,
Oh, so
we see a battle scene with other Jedi as the younglings are running across that, I
yes,
don't know
down
what you call
below.
it, I guess Skywalk or whatever,
Yeah,
and then you just
passageway,
kind of,
something like that.
yeah, then you just kind of, that's it. So
All right, so it gives us a thing saying 10 years later, and we see the inhabitants of Mos Eisley on Tatooine. They're alerted by the arrival of a black menacing Imperial shuttle. It goes overhead, and they see it, and then it lands right in the street, basically, in the middle of town. Let's just say, and we could see that most of the people aren't very well to do there. It's kind of a poor looking area. Several Inquisitors come out, including the Grand Inquisitor, the fifth brother, and the third sister. I always thought the fifth brother's helmet thing was kind of funny looking. It almost is like a, you see the what the Japanese, no, that's Chinese, isn't it? With the weird straw hats.
Yeah.
But it's a helmet instead.
It looked like a tricorn, admiral thing from the Revolutionary War period.
Yeah, maybe.
But
A
I
little bit.
don't know. It
A little
definitely
bit.
was unique.
So they walk through the town, threatening and yelling, and I think what the third sister cuts off somebody's hand or something like that during this.
Yeah, she gets bad.
And she gets scolded. Hey, you're getting a little carried away.
Yeah, settle down there, Missy.
And they walk into a saloon, and the Grand Inquisitor starts pacing around the bar, the saloon, and begins talking to the manager, who comes out and says, "Hey, stop! Don't hurt anybody. I'm the guy here. Don't hurt anybody."
I'm a peaceful guy.
And he the Inquisitor says, "Hey, I heard this rumored that somebody's been saving you over here from bullies and such, and he's got some sort of weird force power or something going on. Sounds like a Jedi to me. Who are you hiding a Jedi? Who is this Jedi? And where is he?" And all this stuff. He asks whether the Jedi is helping in where he's been hiding him. And the third sister hurls a knife at the manager because she's tired of this waiting around stuff. But it's stopped by a young man with his hand. He's using the force. He's like, and it stops like right before it touches the manager's head. And all the Inquisitors stop in their tracks and chase after this guy that they see using the force. And as force users, they can really actually detect when someone's using the force, I think. So once it happens, they all can see. Da da da. Third sister attempts to use a lightsaber to kill the man. She like even puts it on his side of his arm and starts burning him and through his coat or whatever. And the Grand Inquisitor says, "Hey, no.
Stop.
Stop it." And he scolds her and says something about her fixation with Obi-Wan Kenobi, and if she doesn't drop the fixation, he's going to relieve her of her duties. Duty. He said duty.
Tootie.
So elsewhere, several workers, including the fugitive Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi, are wrapping up their workday carving flesh from the remains of a sand whale, which I always thought this was weird, but there, because, you know, there's no water on Tatooine. It years ago, it all burnt off.
Yeah.
Probably what's going to happen here if we don't fix some stuff. But this is an actual living whale that somebody has killed in their harvesting that lives in the sand. The gray carcass of the Tibetan sand whale is partially submerged, probably to keep it a little cool, a little bit, I guess, under the sand. And they're harvesting meat. Foreman Groff Ditcher is overseeing. It doesn't really say, you know, it looks kind of like salmon when they're cutting it, but it doesn't really say what kind of nutritional value it has. It's meat, so it's probably got something good on it, huh?
Yeah, protein. They're cutting it in like brick. It looks like bricks.
Bricks and stuff. Yeah, probably to chip off, and then wherever they get them, they slice them and grill them or whatever, right?
Dehydrated, I don't know, whatever.
Something.
My question is how is it staying fresh in the middle of a desert?
I know, right? You know,
when the shift's over, they all walk away and they don't cover it. You know, it's like,
nothing. Okay. Nothing. Yeah, I know. So they've got to be freezing it or treating it or something to so it doesn't do that. I don't know. So one of the guys that's checking out at the end of the day, they all have there's a robot that they put a card in and it gives them money for their work for the day. He complains to the foreman, says, "Hey, this is half the wages." And, you know, he complains for a second before the guy named Groff Ditcher says, "Hey, shut up or I'll punch your lights out," or something like that. And the guy gives in, and Obi-Wan Kenobi is like biting his lip the whole time. He's like, I want to do something, but I, you know, it's my nature to do something, but I can't. And he finally puts his card in and leaves after staring down the manager for a while. And the manager says, "Hey, you got a problem?" And
yeah, you got something you want to say.
And Kenobi just kind of walks away without saying anything.
Yeah.
And they get on this hover train thing. I mean, it's got a cover over it, but it's an open kind of thing. And he goes back into town, and then he gets on his little horse-looking weird thing with a nostril like a elephant. He gives the Opie a little taste of the stuff he sliced off and hid in his coat. And they ride back out into the desert, which he's basically taken the same path that the hover train took on his Opie, but it's a little further out, I guess, into the mountainish area where there's some caves that he is hiding out in. And he makes up his dehydrated food and stew or whatever, and sits down to eat it. And a Jawa shows up named Tika, and he's Kenobi says, "Hey, you're actually late. I expected you earlier," but he was kind of surprised too. He's like, "Oh, where'd you come from?" Kind of thing.
Yeah, where'd you come from?
And he's found a toy, a T-16 Skyhopper toy, which is kind of foreshadowing too, because we see in New Hope, Luke Skywalker has that toy that he's playing with when his dad tells him to go work, and he goes and throws his little tantrum. He finds his toy in his room and plays with it a little bit, which is kind of weird for a 16, 18 year old kid to do, but anyway. So he pays for the Skyhopper, and he complains that he's got a broken moisture evaporator. And he realizes that the Jawa is trying to sell him the board, same board that that's been stolen from his moisture evaporator. And he scolds him a little bit and tells him he should at least clean it before he tries to sell it back to him. The Jawa then shows salvaged components from a starship that has crashed in the Dune Sea. And Kenobi says, "Hey, there's like a belt or something and whatever." And Kenobi's like, "I thought the Jedi were extinct. Where did this come from?" So this is probably the ship of the guy that's that's in town that's getting in trouble. Later that night, Kenobi has some nightmares, and we see scenes from The Revenge of the Sith when Padme is dying, and he sees scenes of The Phantom Menace when Qui-Gon gets killed, and we supposedly see Maul get sliced in half and killed there, but he's not killed. And we see a scene with Master Yoda and a couple other scenes, and he wakes up and gets ready for the day and gets on his Opie back into town he doesn't go into town. He goes and looks through his macular binoculars at young Luke Skywalker and his uncle Owen at the Lars homestead. And he's probably telling Luke to go do some work or whatever, stop playing around. And Luke runs away and hides on the other side of the compound.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, Lars is like, "Hey, where'd you go?" And we see Kenobi's watching, and he sees Luke's gotten on top of one of the entrances, and he's pretending to be flying a ship or something like that.
Starfighter. He's got his goggles and he's weaving like Anakin riding the star, driving speedsters or the speedsters, right? The races, yeah. Or whatever.
Exactly.
Speedster races.
Speed racer. No.
Speed racer, that's it. Thanks. Couldn't think of the word.
The next night, Kenobi rides through the desert to meet a young man, Nari, who escaped from the Inquisitors. Nari is delighted to meet Kenobi and pleads for help. And he recognizes Kenobi and calls him Jedi Master Kenobi. And Kenobi's like, "Hey, it's Ben now. I go by Ben."
Don't know who you're talking about.
We're calling you that. Jedi are extinct, you know. He tells him to leave and bury his lightsabers in the desert to avoid drawing attention. Nari asks Kenobi about the people who need them, and Kenobi replies that the fight is lost and the time of the Jedi is over. We get some sad music. Kenobi's all depressed looking and we switch to a scene where we're on Alderaan, and several handmaidens are dressing a young Princess Leia Organa. And Queen Bree Organa enters the room, telling her adopted daughter that they are going to be late. She asks the servants how they're doing and tells Leia that her sister's family needs their support. She tells Leia not to make anyone cry and promises that there will be sweet mallows, whatever those are, at the reception if she behaves herself. So, some sort of sweet marshmallowy thing or something like that.
Yeah, sweet treat.
But Bria soon discovers that the figure, she grabs her hand and it's like different color and feels funny. And it's like, "Hey, this is actually Leia's friend, who is like portraying her and not, she's pretending to be who she's not." And we find out that We find out that Leia has run out in the woods to play. And she climbs a tree with her droid, Lola 59. She starts counting ships, and she says there's a medical freighter, a pleasure barge, a casino ship. She comments that the casino ship is kind of cool, and then she sees a Tri-Wings, Pegasus Starfighter is what it's called, which is believed to be used by the Anquilla Ranger, which is scouting for pirates, which she believes is scouting for pirates. It could be. She doesn't know. She's just making her imagination find reasons and stuff.
She's using her observation skills.
Yeah. And eventually, Bria finds her daughter and tells Leia to climb down now, this instant. And tells Leia to shut down her droid because she's in trouble. No more droid for you.
Shame on you.
So she turns off Lola, and Bria tells Leia that if she behaves well as she climbs, she would be a senator already. And she tells her that she would have to change in the speeder. So she's gonna change in the car on the way. And Leia grumbles about having to attend another gathering. Oh, all I do is wave and stuff. And Bria tells her adopted daughter to do more than waving. And Leia later apologizes to Bria and hugs her, taking the opportunity to snatch Lola from her back. And Bria's like, "Hey, I can feel you doing that, you know."
What?
And then we see there's an unknown figure that's watching them both as they walk into the palace.
Lurker.
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 Somebody in the trees. Back on Tatooine, Kenobi is smuggling more meat and rides on the harbor train to the Anchorhead. He heads to the stable where the OP is resting, and then is confronted by Lars, Owen Lars, who hurls the Skyhopper toy and parts at the ground. He says, he tells Ben to stay away from his family, and they don't need anything from him. He's a stupid Jedi.
Yeah.
Betrayed the Empire. Arr. Kenobi says that it is just a toy. You know, I don't see any problem with a toy. And Owen says it's a lot more than that, and replies that there is more to life than his farm. And Owen's like, "I don't want to lose him. He's not going anywhere. I'm keeping him." Kenobi tells Owen that Luke needs to see the wider galaxy, but Owen reiterates his demand to leave him alone. I need him. Training. You're not going to take him away from me. Then Kenobi asks if Luke is okay, and Owen assumes that Kenobi is only interested in his force sensitivity. Kenobi replies that that is his responsibility to take care of him. And Owen reminds Kenobi that he is Luke's uncle. Kenobi responds that when the time comes, he must be trained, like you said. And Owen is like you trained his father, Anakin, giving him a low blow, which makes Kenobi even more depressed. Which they also believe is dead right now. So he says, "You killed Anakin." And Owen is unwilling to let Kenobi make the same mistake twice with Luke. And he walks away. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then we see the Inquisitors walking through town again. addressing the local inhabitants, telling them that there is a Jedi fugitive on the planet, and they need to know where he is now. The fifth brother promises they will be rewarded if they say who it is. However, the third sister threatens punishment. The fifth brother rebukes her and addresses her as Reva. Ignoring his warnings, the third sister adds that chopping people's hands off would remind them of the Empire's authority. When a woman protests that the Empire has no right over the Outer Rim, the third sister cuts her hand off.
Oops.
The third sister explains that they are looking for information about a Jedi, and that she takes interest in Owen Lars and his family. She asks if the Jedi is on his farm, and Owen replies that he has no love for the Jedi. I don't like them. They're vermin, he says. He says that he kills vermin on his farm whenever he sees it. And Reva compliments him for loving his family before asking if he thinks that he can protect them from her. And the third sister then demands that the crowd reveal where the Jedi fugitive is, or she will kill Lars and his family. As the crowd watches in fear and horror, Reva denounces the Jedi as cowards. And we see Kenobi watching in the stable. The third sister tells the crowd that the Jedi failed them and abandoned them. And she says there's no point in protecting them since they would not do the same for you. She urges the town inhabitants to save this man and his family before threatening Lars with her lightsaber. Before the situation can escalate much further, the fifth brother jumps in and says, "Hey, stop it." And he produces a hologram of Nari and tells the locals that they would be rewarded if they cooperate. He orders the third sister to stand down. She complies, but warns Lars he won't be so lucky next time. In private, the fifth brother chastises the third sister with her impulsiveness. And this is like in an alley, and he's got a pretty bad temper about it. He's all upset and grunting and groaning and throws her against the wall, I think, while he's telling her. And Reva says that the people of Tatooine are beneath them. And the fifth brother replies that the Grand Inquisitor was right about her obsession with Kenobi. The fifth brother believes Kenobi is gone since they've spent the past 10 years looking for him. And Reva replies that they have been looking for in the wrong places. And the fifth brother asks what she would gain by capturing him. And Reva replies she is owed what she is owed before she walks away. The fifth brother warns the sister about going too far. And she counters that he doesn't go far enough. The shuttle departs town, and Kenobi thanks Owen for not revealing his presence. Owen replies that he didn't do it for him. He basically did it for his family.
Yep.
So back on Alderaan, a blue and white shuttle arrives with Bail Organa. Bail Prestor Organa. I don't know if I knew his middle name. Bail Prestor Organa is joined by Bria and Leia. When they ask how Leia went about her day, she tells him that she saw trading ships in an Aquilian Ranger. Bria tells her husband not to encourage her too much. He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry." Oops. And then their guests arrive, their relatives arrive. Aunt Celly Organa and her uncle Keyo Organa and her cousin Nayano Organa, which is a little boy that is a troublemaker, we find out later. So they drive through some crowds, and she does the waving, and Bail expresses his concern about slavery and taxation in the Outer Rim. And Kao says he didn't come to end slavery, but to eat Bail's food, and tells him to save the Bleeding Heart for the Imperial Senate. Bria offers to serve drinks while C-3PO is translating some alien guests, and a protocol droid Y-O serves Leia and children some drinks. Leia thanks the droid, which elicits amusement from Naniano, who regards droids as lower life forms. Which they are, but aren't they sentient?
They have feelings, and you have manners.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just all code that's been written. Who knows?
I don't know. But it was pretty cool to see C-3PO.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it is. C-3PO. And that, I mean, we know from the movie that his mind's been wiped too, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leia retorts that she doesn't need manners when engaging with her cousin, because he's a lower life form too.
Singa, touche.
Yeah, and he says something about her parents won't let her leave Alderaan, and not being a real Organa, and prompts Leia to tell him that he is scared of his father. And Liana wants to be like his father, and she reasons that he repeats what he says even though he doesn't really know what it means. So he's one of those followers and not a leader, basically, is what she's saying. Leia tells Niano that he is scared of his father and that he has never made one decision for himself in his entire life. And she says that she can see that even though he doesn't know him much, Bail and Bria take notice of their adopted daughter's behavior, where she's, basically bullying this kid, right? But Leia defends herself and says, hey, he's just a mean and doesn't like droids. And, Bria counsels her daughter and says, you need to rise above the situation, and tells her that she needs to apologize to this guy.
Ooh.
Leia's like, I don't want to do that. I'd rather devour a jacko beast. Which jacko beast is a brown furry type of animal that's inhabited in the mountains of Outer Rim territory planets like Gregor and other core worlds like Alderaan, of course. It's just like a brown bearish kind of looking animal, it looks like.
I was going to say, are the Jacobees those ones that were in the, I don't remember which one it was, but they were in like the cages? The Bad Batch. Remember that? And that fortress?
Possibly, but.
Or is that a different?
I think those are more of a dog lineage, a canine.
Gotcha.
These look like kind of more like cats, I guess. They have like horns and tusks and stuff. And
all right.
Have like more of a cat looking face, at least when the picture here that says jacko beasts were force sensitive. Ooh. Arctic herd animals found in tundras and icy areas of the Outer Rim. So, Bail tells Leia that her future is in politics. And she'll go to university and then junior senate school and blah, blah, blah. And Leia says senate is boring and she doesn't want to be a senator. Bail reassures her that that's why she'd probably be one of the best senators there ever was. And, we actually find out that she is. Leia says that she is not a real Organa, and Bail tells her not to say that. And reassures her that she is their child and an Organa in every way. He says that many will look to her for leadership and ask her to imagine the look of her cousin's face when she gets to boss him around. Bale tells Leia to apologize to Miano before heading downstairs. And he has some sort of weird smile on his face when he does that. He walks away.
Well, he knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. Because instead of apologizing, Leia heads out into the forest. Realizing that... Yeah, we're playing around. Realizing that Leia has not rejoined them, her adoptive parents sent out a unit after her. In the forest, Leia encounters a man named Vect Nukuru, who looks like a pretty bad character, right? Some sort of punk-looking biker.
But do you know who that actually is?
No, I don't.
Are you serious? You don't know who that is?
He looks familiar, but...
It's Flea off Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, yeah, it is. I see it now.
I had totally forgotten he was in it. And then I was like, oh, my God, it's Flea. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Flea.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm looking at it now, and it's talking about it, and he's in a couple other.
Yeah, he was in a couple other episodes, but I don't remember for sure. But I think this was like the longest he was in it. Like the other ones, he just played like a cameo. Poop, he was there and then gone.
Yeah,
like he reoccurs in a couple episodes.
At least these first few.
Yeah.
So she asks him what he's doing here, and he replies that he's waiting. And she asks, waiting for what? And he says, for her, and starts to chase her. And two other associates show up at the same time, including a green-skinned alien, which looks like a female to me. And they corner her eventually as she, kind of goes under and around things that they can't get through very easily because she's small. And they capture her around the time that the guards find the, I guess it's Flea is with her when the guards find her. One of the other guys, and the guards find her and he shoots the guard dead. After she asks for help, she's like, help me, please. He is shot by Nukuru, yes, okay. And surrounded by her kidnappers, and they put a sack over her head, finally.
And
take her off. Kenobi receives a distress call from Bail Organa in his one of his crates. He hears a sound, and it's beeping, and he's like, oh, what's that? And it's a portable holo projector. And he has a conversation with Bail and Bria, begging him to help find Leia. And they say that he's the only one they can trust. And he argues with him, hey, I'm not that person anymore, you know? And
use the Senate.
Yeah, use the Senate. And my name's Ben, not Obi-Wan Kenobi, all this stuff. And it's been 10 years. I don't know how to do that and how to act that way anymore. But then Bail reminds that only Kenobi understands how important Leia is. Kenobi is reluctant to abandon Luke, but Bail reminds him about Leia and states that she is as important as he is. And Kenobi says it has been 10 years. And he suggests he finds someone else. And we see Nukuru. Nukuru has locked Leia in a holding cell aboard their ship, and I think they tie her to a chair or something like that. Kenobi continues his work at the meat, the cutting the sand whale. He travels into town, and they have this Jedi Nari, the one that he met with earlier, He's hung up over the center of town. I don't know, probably 10 feet up in the air. And basically a warning for the town folk saying, hey, don't hide the Jedi because we're going to kill him anyway. And we're going to kill whoever hides him.
Aids them.
Kenobi is all sad about this. And he returns to his cave. And the evaporator droid that basically is his security system turns red instead of blue like normal. And inside the cave, Kenobi is greeted by a cloaked figure who reveals himself to be Bail Organa.
Wow,
What?
man.
Bail tells Kenobi that Leia is headed to Dayu. What the heck's Dayu? It's an outer rim planet that's kind of lawless, and
It's
it's
a
where people
resort.
go to hide and stuff. We find out later that once you're in Dayu, all signals going in or out are blocked, so you can't signal anybody outside. Kenobi says Bail that tells Bail that he shouldn't have come, and Bail says the kidnappers hid their signature behind a freight transport, and the ship is on its way to Dayu. Kenobi is still unwilling to be involved. Bail says that Leia is his daughter, and Kenobi says that he is not the man he used to be and refuses to abandon Luke.
What do you
He's
do?
stuck
What
here.
do
He's stuck here. He can't go anywhere. He's afraid something's going to happen. And they talk. He talks about mistakes and stuff. And Bail says that that we've all made mistakes in the past. He implores Kenobi to move on from his mistakes, saying that he could have saved Anakin, but that he can save her instead. Kenobi is pessimistic, but Bail reassures him that there is no one else that he would trust more than Kenobi with his child. He begs his old friend Kenobi to do it for her, describing it as one last fight. Then we see aboard the kidnapper's ship, Leia activates her droid Lola and gets her to untie her, but it looks like he's got a little blade that he's cutting the ropes with. Untie her, and then Nukuru enters the room. Leia states that she is not afraid of him, but he replies, "Give it time. I'll make you afraid of me." He grabs Lola and hurls her to the ground, shattering the droid. You Lola, you broke Lola. And Leia tells Nukuru that her father Bail is coming with an army. Nukuru says nobody is coming for her, and before he leaves the room. So he leaves her on the floor with her broken droid. And we go back to Tatooine again. Kenobi dismounts his Opie and begins digging in the middle of the desert.
Buried treasure.
Yeah.
Buried treasure.
Right. And then we see Nukuru's associates confide that this might be a bad idea, and Nukuru tells him to get over it. Then we see elsewhere where Kenobi is still digging up his chest. Inside, he retrieves two lightsabers. One of them looks like Anakin's lightsaber.
Yeah.
And then the other one is his, of course, that we see lightsabers in linen cloth back aboard a starship. Nukuru asks Reva through a projection communication if she is sure that Kenobi will come, and she replies that Kenobi fought alongside her father during the Clone Wars and believes that he will come because he won't be able to help it. Because he's a Jedi, he needs to help people, and they're really deeply connected. And the Jedi will hunt himself. on Tatooine, Kenobi heads to a spaceport. A dark-skinned woman asks if he's coming and pays the fare as Kenobi walks towards the freighter. And then we see the credits roll. So he's giving in. He's getting ready to get on the freighter and go start chasing her. All right, so that was quite a bit there in that first episode.
Well, there was a lot going on.
Anything you want to talk about real quick?
No, just with the. I mean, if we were watching this for the first time, but we aren't, you know, we would have like seen a lot of background. Like we would have a little better understanding of Leia as a child and then what happened to Kenobi after, you know, Order 66. So
yeah, and how guilty and depressed he feels about everything too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he lost his best friend. You know, he thinks he's dead. And you know, and he's worried that someone is going to make the connection with Luke. You know, I mean, if we think about the movies, the movies always focused on Luke, and now we're putting a little bit of spotlight on Leia. You know, we don't really know much about Leia from the movies, and now we learn about her as a, you know, as Luke's sister.
Yeah, and I think it's in the next episode, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. You see where Reva talks about she did her research in the archives and finds a connection between Leia and Kenobi, which is weird because nobody's supposed to know about Leia. So somewhere in the Jedi archives, they've documented what happened.
Yeah,
and maybe she's found it. Somewhere.
Well, I don't know that they don't know that they documented what happened, but she's made a connection somehow. Yeah. Because later down the road, in like one of the last episodes, she makes the connection with something later. I don't want to say too much because I watched some of it more than the what we were talked about. But yeah, like she's found some kind of connection between Leia and Obi-Wan. I don't know that she knows exactly what it is.
Maybe.
Well, and I think in the next episode too. Never mind. Well, I won't say anything just yet. There's another connection that she makes too.
Yes. All right. So let's ask for some feedback from everybody. Feedback. All right. So we want to know what you want to know. If you think some of what we said is wrong, or we said anything wrong, or we said it all right, we want to know your opinion. Send it to us at feedback@kylezerhanson.us. You can go to our website, and there's usually a link down here that you can find. There's a link that has a feedback where it'll come to us. We're on social media at X/Twitter. We're at @super_duper_pod. On Blue Sky, we're at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room. And then, of course, we're on YouTube where you can leave comments on both video and audio connections there. Do you want to go right into the next episode, you think?
Sure, let's do that.
Yeah, let's not even do it.
Unless you want to do like a little pause, like, you know, and then you cut it and then do it. It's up to you. I don't care.
Okay, let's do that real quick. We'll do a... Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabr.kylezerhanson.us. That's rabr.kylezerhanson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet.
And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcast. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kailejohansen.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say goodbye now.